Are you looking for valuable business advice to reach that seven-figure revenue mark? Do you want actionable tips to properly navigate through every business challenge you encounter along the way? Let Tersh Blissett and Josh Crouch be your guide in getting you to the top here at Service Business Mastery. Tune in as they sit down with world-renowned authors in business, leadership, and personal growth who share valuable insights about management, marketing, pricing, human resources, and so much more. Let their nuggets of wisdom gold guide you in owning a thriving, profitable, and ever-growing business. Here are your hosts, Tersh and Josh.
Hey, Pierce, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Tersh. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Hello, everyone out there in podcast world. Hope you're having a great day. And I'm excited to talk with Pierce today. We are going to talk AI, using AI or authentic. And we had a great conversation already before we even got started. And Pierce, tell us a little bit about your business, RealWorks Labs. And I chuckle a little bit because we have had this conversation earlier too, and it's not a clear cut, like super easy one word description. So tell me about RealWorks Labs.
Yeah. So RealWorks Labs, we are a software platform for home services, not in the traditional sense of your jobbers and your service titans. Those platforms help you manage sort of the back end of your business. RealWorks Labs, in a nutshell, helps home service businesses both get and then map where their Google and Facebook reviews come from with photos and the jobs that they've done. So we kind of tap into the trapped value that sits within your FSM, what's sitting on your camera reel, the reviews you have on Google that are all lumped together, and kind of like a constellation, right? We just tie all the little dots together to create a lot of meaning for homeowners and people that find you around town. So it's really about a new unit of identity for a roofer, for an HVAC contractor that creates an asset out of the work you're doing and the reviews you do by combining them to create a more authentic brand identity for your business at the neighborhood level. So just all that.
And so it's not just a reputation management platform. You have the SEO value that you're bringing in there, and you shared that next quarter that you'll be able to do some like campaigns with that information. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the kind of unpacking the whole thing here. So as part of sort of a healthy SEO diet, absolutely. Some very interesting trends, you know, since ChatGPT rolled out, Google has had its authentic content update where it, as a search engine, told everyone to stop creating content for search engines and start creating content for people, a people first content approach. And even just in November, you know, their last update where they give ranking priority to first person perspective, the content and the reviews and enabling, and I hate to say this word, democratizing. I read on LinkedIn somewhere, the next time someone says they're democratizing something, they're going to catch hands. So that guy out there, I hope you're not watching this. But it's really about enabling your technicians to capture that content that's extremely valuable, or tap into it and utilize throughout ad campaigns, SEO. We are taking, when you imagine building an asset, taking the 100, 500 reviews on Google and placing those on a map, that interactive experience. When you have the location, the review, the job that you did, all the things that kind of amount to like the real identity of your business in that neighborhood. Yeah, we are powering websites, powering field sales, but being able to scale and utilize that asset within your mailer campaigns, emailing campaigns. So when you send someone something, show them the reviews and the work that you got from near them, and not just something that's personalized at scale with AI, right? Yeah. Or a cookie cutter email campaign. Actually scale something that's personal to them by a location.
Is Google able to scrape that or to crawl that within our like website?
Yeah. If it's on page, which we obviously do, then it's able to read that information. Anything that's just on a map is in an iframe, so it won't. If you have it on page, absolutely. So if you have, you know, service location page, so if you're doing roof repairs, you know, and then you have your URL in Memphis or a certain neighborhood, you know, those typical pages, go look at your website. Who's that content written for? Is there the human element? Is it written for Google? Yeah. Or is there just like a stock image, right? So you can absolutely utilize it. And it's on page, and based on everything Google's been saying and our own, you know, success as a company, when you use this properly with your agency, it's very, very creative for visibility for sure.
That's cool. So is this going to pull information from our CRM and put it into there? Like, is there an integration with the CRM? Is that how it works? And are we going to, like, when you put the address in, is it going to take the metadata from the image to create the address, or are we going to manually put the address in?
Yeah. So depending on the CRM, and there's just a manifold of them, there's, you know, there's ones that roofers use and pest control and, right, you know, HVAC. So without just saying like, yes, because I'll say that, depending on them. So things like Company Cam or Job Nimbus, AccuLinks, I forgot all of them that we have a full API with, but it's pulling that job data. It's pulling the photos, or we have an app to pull photos. And then it does preserve the metadata, so the location of the photo, so that that's auto-filled in, or it's able to pull it from the CRM if the integration's there to, you know, streamline things. And it could also be done administratively, you know, at a computer.
Yeah, that's okay. So that's what I was going to ask. This is going to get rid of, or potentially remove, the ability for people to purchase crazy amounts of fake Google reviews, as you know, as far as the authentic part of it goes. Obviously you could still do it and they could still be listed there on your site or on Google, but adding the images, that would be pretty dang tricky to do or time consuming to do if you went out and purchased 500 fake reviews.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking with a roofer, I was helping one of my reps the other day, and his market, he's been around for, you know, whatever amount of time, 15, 20 years. I can't remember if he's first or second gen roofer, but, you know, his big problem in his market is that there's this new company came out of nowhere. They've got like 500 reviews swooping in, cutting him on price and making his life and job really difficult, right? So when it comes to that, the response we had, you know, you can use platforms like us to get more reviews, and you should. But at the same time, getting in the rat race of like, well, they did it, and it's kind of like a cold war where it's like, you need to up the ante as well. What we found to be really helpful is, one, adding depth to reviews, adding the location, right? Where did the review happen? They all just said on the GBP profile. Okay, cool. My homeowners don't even know if they're real. I actually don't have a way as a company or a homeowner to distinguish real from fake, whether it's AI or fake reviews. I can't really tell. So when you corroborate and you have, and this is just for your business in general on any page, incorporating more data and seeing your technicians as content creators or tapping into the trapped value of that CRM is extremely valuable for your conversion rates, extremely valuable to Google. So by adding depth, that's been a very effective strategy to drive conversion rate. And then at the same time, continuing to encourage high quality reviews, because when people do that, Google knows if a Gmail account was made and then 2 seconds later it left a review, right? If it doesn't have history to it, it's not going to have the same weighting. So there's a degree that, yeah, they're playing the game for now, but I think the best way, if you're an established business, one, if you're a newer business, don't do that. You can try. But if you're an established business, you know, it's the onus is on you to explain how you're different, get to know people, have them see your gravitas and maybe the charisma of your salespeople or your installer. And that's what separates your business. You're not even going to get all those chances though in today's world of reviews. And putting your best authentic image forwards, that's the best thing that you can do to combat that outside of, you know, when you bringing in a lot more good reviews.
When you say putting that best authentic image forward, what do you mean exactly by that? Like spell it out in detail for me as a contractor.
I suppose I can answer that with a question, but most of your, I'll put it this way. Most of your home service businesses, like you're watching this, you're saying, I'm a roofer, I'm a plumber, like you're a tradesman, you are a practitioner. Okay. Mm-hmm. of something that you do, and then what's been unfairly lobbied on top of your day is suddenly being good at digital marketing. And that's when you turn to these agencies and
a landscape picture and not a.
So, I mean, you offload to a marketing agency, but then it's like, you're busy, you're running your day, you're probably short on workers. And so at the end of it all, you can wind up, and I encounter a lot of websites that are fairly interchangeable in the sense that you have stock photos, maybe one real one. It gets updated every once in a while. But a lot of the content, do you read it? Have you ever read it? Right? No. Do you expect people to read it?
It's just built for Google.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's why Google made that shift, because it's not good for consumers. So even to your own benefit or the benefit of Google and your rankings, the best things that you can do is showcasing photos and videos. Even if you're not good at it, you got to get good at it. There's a trend that visibility, just like TikTok and other platforms like Reddit, they're more social media driven. And you're going to continue to see that trend with Google. So if you're not good at getting your technicians to capture photos, you're not using a tool, you need to get one. And you need to have an ability for your agency and a better partnership to update pages with actual live things that you've done, right? Like, tell people where jobs happened, right? When people see a dirty contractor, right? If you see a clean truck driving down the road, I'm not going to believe that that's actually a truck out there, that's hauling landscape or doing real work, right? Like, it's okay to have imperfect images. You don't have to be a social media guru.
Well, that's the challenge as a contractor. That's what I'm like, the guys would send, they'll send a picture and I'm like, oh, I can see the brush mark from the last time that you brushed the van and then you ran down a dirt road and like it kind of got that dust on the side of it. I'm not going to use that image because you can see a little bit of dirt on the van. Like, I want the vans to be perfect whenever they send me a picture of the van.
And no.
I get it 100%. Now, do you think that we should be like doing selfies with it, like in front of the other thing is when we're putting these addresses and everything on our page, is there an aspect of like homeowner security type stuff whenever we do something like that? Like, do we need to ask their permission first, or like the house is already listed on Google? Like, we're not showing the inside of the house.
Kind of unpacking it. Like, first off is we live in a postmodern advertising world. I mean, every banner image, every TV commercial, everything's pretty, everything's clean. We watch movies and historical movies, right? Everyone has like nice white teeth. It's like, it's not real. Perfect. Yeah. So like staged post-production advertising and marketing is shown, at least in our studies with conversion rate and what we recommend to our client base, it's not super effective. There's moments, but you're not a real estate agent, right? Like, people know that contractors get their hands dirty and do real work. And showcasing that and having rough edges portrays and is expected of the industry. And I think that this unrealistic social media sort of perfect lighting and whatnot, it actually hurts the image of authenticity because there's rough edges, right? Like, your work gloves have holes in them, and that's okay. Like, those kinds of elements, and especially in the world of AI, where is it real or is it not? Frayed edges that add that sense of like, okay, it's like your grandfather clock. It's got some nick, it's got some things in it and stuff. That's okay, because it espouses the fact that it's been used and it's real. At the same time, selfies, I mean, that's shown the number one Google rankings, number two conversion rates when a face is present is much higher. So if you're in an industry that's not super visually driven, like pest control or, plumbing, for example, like, oh, here's a toilet. Like, showing people doing work or a selfie. I mean, look at Facebook photos. Your friend posts on Facebook and they went to Italy. Are you really looking at the pictures of the landscape ones? Or are you really paying attention to the ones where they're in it? You're going to pay attention to the ones when they're in it.
You mentioned the landscape thing and just taking pictures, like going to places. Like, I have to travel all over the country to do expo events for the podcast, which I enjoy doing. I said, I got to do it. I get to do it. And it is cool. But whenever we're out and about, any pictures that I ever take that are just of the landscape, like, we went to Phoenix last year multiple times and riding down the road next to Red Rock stuff, it was like taking pictures of the backgrounds of all these things. You're like, that's cool and everything. But going back and looking, I'm like, I could just look at these things on Google. Like, yeah, there's nothing cool about this image, because like when I was in person, it was really cool to see it. But looking back, it was like, it would be better to look at this image if it was, had been a selfie image versus a picture.
Well, and that sense of audience is important, Tersh, because one thing that RealWork does with our reputation platform is traditionally when you're requesting a review, right? And in today's world, you have to stand out more. There's more roofers, there's more people moving into home services, money is tighter, you know, and yeah, when money's tight, trust becomes more valuable. And so traditionally when you request a review, there's a link to your Google page. Maybe the platform you have has like your logo. We actually take the photos that your technicians are taking and include them in the review request. So when you have that sense of audience that you're proving to the homeowner, here's the work I did, will you please leave me a Google review? That just makes common sense. It's contextualizing reviews.
What I hear you saying is that the technician must upload the images right then, like while they're on site, in order for the review request to have the proper images in it, correct?
They can do it, you know, before, after, but I do think, and we have shown that by including images of the work you do in the review request to a homeowner, you don't have to, but if you do that, you substantially increase two things. You increase likelihood of a response because you're actually showing them the work you did, right? Maybe they weren't on the roof with you. They weren't in the attic, you know? So you're able to show them that, and it shows a degree of thoughtfulness. That's actually a good place to have some AI, is to like write up what you did, help with that generative component, which we're actually about to roll out quarter. But at the same time, whether it's in the quote, whether it's in the invoice, anytime that you're asking for a review, it's good to show the work that you did, because it's also going to increase the quality or the likelihood of a quality review. And if your purpose is to appease two people, right, with your reviews, and that number one being Google, because Google says on its support article, high quality positive reviews increase your ranking. Quality means that they're writing something meaningful. It's not a brand new Gmail account. If they have photos, which you're giving them, that's super helpful. So the quality of these reviews matter. At the same time, you are getting responses from people that you can map and use as an asset later, right? Because if you were to take your 200 reviews, put it on the map, and then the three or four around each homeowner, when there's a thoughtful response from people, that's very helpful. So I would just say overall, if you're running a home service business, there's the traditional way of doing things, like how you ask for a review, but including photos and authenticating the work that you did, right? And corroboration, that is your best ally.
So we try and get video reviews as, I mean, we don't get a ton of them because most people are rather awkward about doing a selfie video on a review for an air conditioning replacement. And especially like we just installed it, so they don't really know if it's working great or not. Like whenever, sometimes ask for it, like so sometimes it's an awkward conversation. But when we get a person that's like over the top and they're like, thank you for the service and how great the service was and everything, they're usually a lot more willing to do that. But the problem is that I'm pretty sure you can't attach it to a review, a video. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I don't think DBP accepts video. So this would be a place that would go, like, you know, if you're using our platform or just for your own website, it goes on the map with the review, right? And that would be outside of GBP that you can use for your Google ads. And again, all this content, whether it can go to GBP or not, there's so many other ways that you can utilize video power. Like, you know, you'll see an increase in quality with LSA most likely, but Google ads, landing pages. And, you know, let me ask this, why video? Why is that? Why is that like the next frontier, something like that? Is that why video?
And being told that you need to get video reviews.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Video, it's very corroborative because it's hard to fake.
Yeah.
Right. So you could try to get, I mean, that's why video makes sense. And, you know, we, you know, video reviews as well with what we do, as well as follow up to get that. But think about it. If you ask someone for that video, maybe they won't do it on the spot, but them taking a selfie or doing a walkthrough and speaking, they're more likely to do that if you can take them back to the job that you did, right? And I think it's much more likely. But I would also challenge that, yes, most consumers, they're not going to leave great video reviews or want to do that. But the whole reason, like the nugget in why video, is that it's very corroborative. It's mixing imagery, audio. It's hard to fake. AI hasn't taken over video just quite yet. Probably why it's at the forefront. So again, that's one approach. And the other approach is corroboration. So if you do have still images, or if you have video that you took, having that and then constellating it with location and descriptions and as much as you can and enrich, right? It's like having eggs, flour, sugar, and water. By themselves, they're just things, but you put them together and you have a cake, right? Mm-hmm. So there's other ways outside of just frustratingly, maybe focusing on video. You can actually enrich photos and reviews and tie things together in a way that in the face of the AI internet we face now and in the future, the gray tide of content, the more corroborating you can do alongside use cases of AI, I think the better your business is going to be.
So let me ask you this. What happens if we are, or what's your thoughts on if we have this authentic review with a video and photos, and then you get an AI blog post written about X, Y, and Z thing, but you're putting this into it. So you're having AI do the writing of this, the copyright, but you're putting the your authentic video into this post. So you're kind of hybriding it a little bit, but
yeah, I call that AI, right? Which is hybrid AI. And I think that that's the right balance, because look, we all know that AI is especially generative. And by the way, home services is a perfect use case for generative AI, because as describers, you know, writing things down, we're out in the field, you know, it's difficult to do that. So it's about blending it together that I think is like a sandwich, right? So you have the generative components. And then if you have the authentic piece mixed in, I mean, the alternative, which I'm going to be honest, in today's world, blog posts to me, like you, the owner of your business, did you write it? Like, was an actual master plumber writing that article, or did your agency do it? And I'm not saying this is bad for agencies, because they could do this, it's their job. But are they using a VA? Is it ghostwritten? Are they using AI? So at the end of the day, trust spirals downwards. And the incorporation of authentic content in that blog post, again, ranking or signals from Google directly say that that's a benefit to that blog, to that page. And I think it's a much healthier blend that still conducts trust between you and your audience. Because there's always that tinge of like pure AI where you're like, I know this isn't real. And I think that should really try to be avoided at all costs.
Yeah, because I'll go on a post and even the reviews, and you can tell the ones that are fake, and you can tell the ones that were purchased on Fiverr or whatever, you know, platform mm-hmm. there is out there for someone who is not a native English speaker creating an English review. And they can be cringeworthy for sure whenever you're reading them and then reading the reviews that go along with it. Let me ask you this, and you may not know this, this may not be a thing that you've done any research on, but when it comes to the response to the review, we all know that speed is what's important, making sure that you get that response or that review responded to first off, and then responded to in a quickly in a speedy manner. How is it important, or is it not important to do any kind of, for lack of better term, keyword stuffing in the response?
Well, I haven't seen anything as far as, especially like I always, whenever we read the tea leaves, you have to go to Google, you look at their core updates, you look at their support articles. So, you know, they just say that responding to reviews, and they give no indication on AI or otherwise. Although I do think it's fairly self-evident. The keywords being in the reviews you receive are highly impactful to visibility, but two things. Review responses, in my mind, are a really adequate application of an AI response, because you kind of generally have the same reaction to, you know, reviews that can come in, unless, you know, it's a negative review and then you don't want to use AI as often. But I don't think there's nothing that I've read or seen as far as their responses to them. You know, responding in general and having some bad reviews, to be honest, is a good thing. Like,
right.
If you have a five-star rating,
how you responded to them.
Yeah, exactly. Like a five-star rating according to studies that we've done, a white paper we put out across roofers in Texas was not good. What we saw, and there can be reasons why, but the people with five stars could just have fake reviews. That could be indications of that, that they rank lower. But generally, what we saw is there is a clear like 4.6 to 4.7 rating, where you had the highest population reach and appeared in the most zip codes. So are those actually the most authentic people that get a mixture of good and bad reviews? Probably. But if you're the, if you're, you know, a home service business with 10 five-star reviews and you want to hold on to that at the cost of getting more reviews or responses, that's what you need to let go of. So I see less often or a less probability that review responses having keywords or not, you know, that could be an area. But I think the biggest opportunity for businesses, reviews in general, don't be afraid of getting some bad ones. Because if you get a 3-star, even a 1-star, and you get it changed, that's good, healthy, organic activity. And you never want to limit your reach because you're afraid of losing that 5-star ranking.
That's a great point. Do you think that Google Plus will ever come back? And you mentioned earlier that there's very the way of social media and the selfie posts and stuff, and Google not necessarily is moving in that direction, but you mentioned that like it's important to everybody, the authenticity aspect of it. Do you think that Google Plus just came out too early and it'll come back?
You know, it's an interesting question because, you know, I'm surviving here in Austin and Cedar Bloom. Your question's so outrageous. I'm just kidding. The social aspect of what's being built into Google the last year and a half since the authentic content update and their red alert with ChatGPT all lends itself in the breadcrumbs very much towards a social platform. They want users producing content. It needs to be first person. You know, they'll focus on search engines. And TikTok and Reddit and these other platforms, TikTok unseating Google as the world's top domain. They don't have algorithms. They don't have people making content to please algorithms. They have people making content to please people. And I think that that's a very real threat in addition to ChatGPT with Google. So at the end of the day, you know, it's anyone's call on that. If you look at Google SGE, you know, search generated experience, all I can do is go off of their test lab. You know, it's a 5-pack instead of a 3-pack. It's very heavily focused on reputation and content. And whether they bring that individual component back, I think it would make a lot of sense for them to, because they also have to find a new monetization model with SGE. Because frankly, like generative AI responses, I mean, the death of blue links, the death of SEO, the 50 to 70% cut out of that, not just local, but everywhere, it really stands to upend the business model for Google. So I think that the social aspect probably makes good sense for them to try and, you know, bring back, but I guess it's anyone's guess, but it sure seems like they're trying to go the route of social media.
The challenge, and for anybody that's in marketing knows this, and I'm not in marketing per se, I just hear all about it. And I hear Josh talk about it. And that is that the Alphabet company is such a big company and it's so not a great communication internally. So whenever they introduce something new like a Google Plus, it has a potential to fail because of not communicating with Google reviews or whatever else it is. I don't know. Maybe that's what happened before. Speculation on my behalf. I don't know.
I barely have my memory so faint with Google Plus back in the day. It's, you know, they throw everything against the wall. But here's what I'll say is that as far as navigating the future, I think the primary currency that home services have, and it's why the majority of your revenue is from referrals, is that people trust people. And servicing the human component of your industry, playing the game of marketing and appeasing algorithms, we've all been doing that for 15 years and the system's horrifically broken. Oh, should I respond to reviews with keywords? Bullshit, to be honest. Right. So I think that the future and why search is fundamentally broken and the best path forwards that you can hedge on is continuing to focus on authenticity. I think it's continuing to focus on how can I enable my team to be co-creators of my brand as they represent my brand in neighborhoods, and finding good help is hard. But there are dynamics, I believe, and a different viewpoint on the staff out in the field wearing your shirts and driving your logo around and encouraging them through systems you have or new systems, and start thinking about how can I make an asset out of the work I'm making? How can I get how can I use the frayed edges? What things can I challenge about imagery and what I would put on my website or not, and start testing. Because if you can get people to, at a neighborhood level, it's not about winning a search term for Memphis or Austin. It's about, you can get neighbors talking about you. If you can show that you worked with neighbors months down the road, I mean, that's how the majority of your business already run. And I think online should reflect that. And I think that investing in making people trust you, and it's also what Google says, but I think that that's a good path forward while we find out what the hell.
When is it that Google is going to make that transition over to?
I mean, they rolled it out to 120 countries in test phase in November, and speculation's been that in Q1, Q2, that they might, you know, roll it out for everyone standard instead of opt-in. So how they go about that and when, not quite sure, but that's some of the people I follow that are much better at SEO than I am. That's what they've been thinking, is that it's going to be Q1, Q2. So it should be soon.
Are we going to get penalized for the content that's on the site that is for the algorithm? Like, mindset shift as a marketing or business owners, it's very much like we've been doing this, like you said, 15 years trying to appease the algorithm. Now we're going to have to change and produce this authentic content. And I think that's why so many business owners have been hesitant to join TikTok, is because they're like, everything's got to be perfect. Everything's got to be great for the algorithm. And then, so it's going to create so much more work for me because I am trying to make perfect content for an algorithm that I have to learn a new algorithm, when in fact they just need to be authentic.
Number one video we had a plumber make last year, technician, it's actually a plumbing company here in Austin, one of their technicians, and he farted in a tube.
And then that's just it. That's the
it handles, guys, grew a shit ton this year. And he just like, he put his phone down, he just farted in a tube. You know, I get that, right? And like, from idea of like post-production marketing land that we all live in today, like no one gives a shit. Like, five-star reviews, perfect this, perfect that. It's not real. It's not authentic. I mean, Real Work Labs, we have good reviews, but we have people that were unhappy. And I'm not afraid to say that, because things can go wrong. Like, I think I got a 4.5. Like, you know, stuff happens. You can't be perfect all the time. It's not real. So I think that enabling and at least beginning the discussion and building the proper habits is a barrier that businesses face. Getting your technicians to do something outside of their core job responsibility, I would urge businesses to start seeing them as content creators and creating systems that enable technicians to benefit from the reviews they capture, from the content they can be producing for you, you know, in terms of competition, a token economy of some kind. But faster and better and earlier that you start seeing them not just as, you know, performers of the job, but people that can capture real life moments where your brand actually exists and you're not there, or if it's you yourself. Like, those are those crunchy moments that you wish you could capture in video. So if you don't have those, if you don't have that mindset, then you're unlikely to continue getting it.
Yeah, that's definitely a mindset shift for some, getting in front of the camera. Whenever I first got in front of the camera, 2017, 2018, super cringeworthy. Like, now I'm like, whatever. It's been doing it for years. Like, I can go on a job site and just throw up a selfie cam, no problem. And then, like, I have a couple guys and they're like, nope. No, I need to make sure I cut my beard first and make sure I clean this up and clean that up. And like, or I don't want to be my face on camera and stuff like that. I'm just awkward on camera. And I think that people need to realize that the more you do it, the better you get at it. If you go back and listen to episode 1, 2, 3 of the Service Business Mastery podcast, terrible stuff. But those are my most downloaded and most listened to episodes, because they are the most authentic of any episodes. Not saying that this is inauthentic by any means, but those are the ones where I made lots of mistakes and, you know, just left them in there.
Yeah, 1,000%. So collaboration's key. Get good at capturing, you can get good. You don't have to get good at it. Just have it. And I think that, as we've seen, I'm spending more. As we see the phrase, I'm spending more than getting less, which is a pretty common phrase I've heard over the past year, then, you know, you can be a brand or an anti-brand. Try running a campaign with real content. Try going into your FSM, try going into Job Nimbus, whatever. Pull some photos and try it. See what happens. I think you'll be surprised.
That's cool. Pierce, how can people connect with you?
They can go to our website if you're interested in seeing how to map your reviews and how to create a neighborhood brand identity, scale it, and have authenticity at every job you have. Real Work Labs would love to work with you. You can actually just email me directly. It's just my name here on the screen, Pierce@realworklabs.com, or head to the website, Real Work Labs. People tend to say that. It's okay. But it's Real Work Labs.
You did. I caught it. As soon as I said it, I know. I don't think that's right.
That's okay. It's totally fine. It happens a lot. But yeah, head to the website, check out what we have there. Feel free to fill out. If you mentioned that you heard us here on the podcast, we are waiving our agreements, doing some discounting for the first 10 people. And when you reach out, highly encourage that you have your agency in mind, because the real unlocking of the ROI here, not just for your business, but if you have a web agency, web guy, whoever, them being able to tap into all this data and using it throughout your website is extremely transformational. So we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to throw some discounts as well as, you know, have that agency in mind so we can partner up and really create some interesting use cases and hopefully have a follow-up conversation with you guys on those results.
That'd be cool. That'd be awesome. I appreciate you hanging out with me, Pierce.
Absolutely. Same to you, Tersh.
If anybody has any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to Pierce, his team. If you have any questions for myself, servicebusinessmastery.com. And until we talk again next week, I hope you have a wonderful and safe week. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Business Mastery. Now that you are equipped with essential business advice from this impactful conversation, you are one step closer to becoming the successful owner of your dreams. If this episode has been helpful to your business journey, don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and share it with other owners as well. Visit servicebusinessmastery.com to learn more.